Yes, let's start. We're not necessarily going to go in order. We'll see how it goes. A lot of what I'm telling you is coming from this little country. So I have this probably for 15 years, maybe more. Oitzer Hayidiyos. Oitzer Hayidiyos from Gershon Mendel, Eisenberger. Eisenberger, he was from, lived in Chicago. I think he moved to Lakewood. And he put together a whole collection of Sfarim, of what's called Aleph Yud Zayin Nun.
No, in English it doesn't say.
Let's see. Eisenberger. Eisenberger. It says he was in Lakewood, New Jersey. Oh, he's in Somerset. I don't know. Is it Lakewood, New Jersey?
Yeah, they're old.
And
but in a country place.
He wrote this when he was in Chicago. He lived in Chicago, and he wrote a few things like this, different sizes. This is probably very, he probably did this already a few times, where he collected ideas, interesting things that you're not going to find in other places. Today already there are so many new stories. When he put this out, it was a novelty. It was like probably almost 20 years ago. You never heard of the things over here. Now there are so many new Sfarim, they've dug up so many new things, so not everything here is such a novelty anymore. But nevertheless, it's a very, very good collection of Yidiyos, Halacha, Agada. So let's begin and run through a couple of things. First, we should appreciate that today is the first day of the Shloishas Yimei Hagbalah. That's what today is. Shloishas Yimei Hagbalah. That's what today is. That's the third. We don't know Tachlon today. Some people, they said Tachlon yesterday. There's no reason really not to. Yom Yuchas. That's a Hasidish thing. It's Yom Yuchas. What's the Yichus? It's Egen Yichus. It's Rosh Chodesh, the day before. And the day after is Shloishas Yimei Hagbalah. So when you're surrounded by holiness, oh, you yourself have an Egen Yichus. Yom HaMayuchas, you yourself become special. There's a lot of chachma to such a thing. That's one of the reasons why it's called Yom HaMayuchas. That was yesterday. But today is the third day of Sivan. Today is the first of the 3 days of the Shloishas Yemei Hagbalah, where Hashem told, Moshe told Klal Yisrael that they should prepare. V'hayu nichonim liyom hashlishi. Liyom hashlishi, you shall prepare for 3 days. You shall prepare yourself for what's going to be in 3 days from now, which really means 4 days from now, because it's 3, 4, 5, and then on day 6 will be, after 3 days, is going to be Matan Torah, the first day of preparation. 3 days of Achana, preparation, and therefore Chazal say, we're not nizrin these things today, we're not into these things today, is that people already at the day today is the day when you have to start doing things differently in preparation for Matan Torah. What does it mean, Hagbalah? Hagbalah means to limit yourself, to restrain yourself. How does one restrain themselves? So it's cited here, not to talk. Tainus dibur, for the next 3 days. The only words that should come out of our mouths for the next 3 days are words of Torah and words of tefillah. You have to hold yourself back from speech, being that Matan Torah is called the Aseres HaDibrois. Hashem gave us the Kech of Dibor, the 10 Dibrois, and these 3 days are days of Hagbalah, are days of restraint. Hagbalah, erect boundaries, so the boundaries that we erect have to parallel the gift that was given to us on Shavuos. And since the gift is the Aseres HaDibrois, the Torah is described with Dibor, as we mentioned before, Dibor, so the Hagbalah should be in the form of Dibor. So not to talk, to restrict your word output during these 3 days. I've never seen anyone do this, but that's not everything we learn over here is for practical purposes. Some things we learn here are for entertainment purposes. So I let you know what it says here. That's what you're supposed to do. There are other things, that other restrictions, limitations to sanctify yourself. Okay, it's a day of precious. Not to indulge in materialism, okay, not to have the best food, not to engage in things which are pleasurable for the body. These are days when a person should restrict himself in preparation, putting himself in the frame of mind for Kabbalah Satorah. Now today also in Magencia was a fast day. It was a very serious day, even though it's the Shloish Esimei Hagbalah. In Magencia they would fast because today is the anniversary of the First Crusade, 1096. The First Crusade, which many historians attribute, they see in the First Crusade what happened in the year 1096, the roots of the Holocaust even. The roots of the Holocaust, the roots of Inquisition, the roots of pogroms, the roots of the Khmelnytsky massacres, this attitude of wholesale genocide that is given the stamp of approval by the church and by government. It was the first time in Golos since the Churban Beis HaMikdash that there was widespread, there was an endorsement by authority to murder Jews.
The Romans killed them
since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban took place by a nation. Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They exiled Klal Yisrael, Nebuchadnezzar. But since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it was quite what?
By Yerushalayim.
Yeah, yeah. And then Rome was the second by. Right, from the second. The by Yerushalayim is Rome. You have Nebuchadnezzar, the by Yerushalayim, and then you have Rome. Mm-hmm. Rome was Edom, the by Yerushalayim. And after the massacre, after the Churban of Beitar, after it was all over, not just the Churban of Beitar, after Beitar, really Beitar was the end. Beitar, the Gemara says when they plowed the Beitar, that was the end. But after the Churban was completely over, so the Jews were in Rome, and then from there they went to different countries. They went to France, to Spain, to Germany. They went to Poland, mainly. Other places they went to Russia, the other places
England
as well.
Too.
What?
England.
They went to all different places, but. For approximately 1,000 years, there were always pogroms. Let's not kid ourselves. There were always mass tragedies with Rabbeinu Gershon's child was killed. There were a lot of terrible things that happened before that. But those events that happened more or less were isolated acts of terror. It wasn't the government wasn't involved. The church was not involved. These were thugs, e halacha biyadenu, Esav, son of Yaakov. There were groups, there were thugs who went and tortured and brought upon Klal Yisrael for 1,000 years, tsars, plenty of them, plenty of tsars. But this was different. This was a whole different period where it was the haskama of the world. The haskama, the power of the world was the church. It was the government. It was an attitude that swept over society, the secular society, that Jews have to be obliterated.
My understanding is that they were failing with the Arabs. They were not succeeding in fighting the Arabs.
They took it out on Jews.
Well, they said, why are we against the Arabs? Because they don't
infidels.
Accept because they don't accept Yoshka.
Infidels.
Guess what? The Jews are here. They also don't accept Yoshka.
So
it was much easier attacking the local Yidden than attacking the Arabs.
The Crusades, but that was not the primary goal. The primary goal of the Crusades was to liberate the Eretz Yisrael from the Muslims, from the Arabs.
Right.
The Muslims.
Moors, I think the Moors, right?
The Moors. A certain group of Arabs, Muslims, Turks, they had control over Yerushalayim. It was mainly focused on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's where
what is
the
Jewish in Magencia?
Mines. So this massacre took place on day 3 of Sivan, and it says it's not really clear how many people died. We know for sure at least 12. And you'll say, oh, 12, that's it? Today we're used to hearing 6 million. So what's 12 people? Every person is a world to itself. But it seems it was a lot more than 12. It was a massive massacre. There were 12 parnosim. There were 12 leaders who were killed, and in addition, it seems like there were many, many korbanos. And there were 12 parnosim, 12 leaders that were killed. And in fact, they're buried. There's a matzeva for the 12 parnosim, supposedly still there in Mainz, in the cemetery. There's a matzeva, and it was a very big day, a very somber day in Magencia for all the years. In Mainz, it was a major city for Klal Yisrael, a major kehillah for Klal Yisrael. And it was a young time, it was a young son. They learned Vayichal, and they fasted, and they did a lot of things today. So today is not, it's not a simple day. Okay, let's now jump ahead. Let's talk about Shavuos itself. Okay, the night of Shavuos, we already spoke about staying up. Let's start over here. And we'll go backwards. Let's just get off to one topic. Let me turn to the right page. Give me a moment and get some footing when I prepared. Okay, let's start from over here. Okay. On Shavuos, first of all, we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim when we take out the Sefer Torah by davening. Question is why? Why should we recite the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? Why is that the Nusach of Tefillah? So the answer is a very important thing. The answer is because it's the Yom Hadin. Yom Hadin Al Peiroi Su'ilan. Pesach is the Yom Hadin Al Hatvua. Sukkot is the Yom Hadin Al Mayim. And Shavuos is the Yom Hadin on the Peiroi Su'ilan. And Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin on us, on human beings. It's very serious. The Peiroi Su'ilan don't just refer to Peiroi, fruit. It refers to accomplishments. We say that the person, if he accomplishes something, he leans over Peiros in this world. So whether you want to take it literally, whether you want to use the word Peiros as a metaphor for something much more symbolic, something much richer, it's a Yom Hadin. And therefore, a person should not forget that a person should be on his best behavior because he's being judged. He's being judged. The Peiros are being judged. One of the only places where you really get a sense that it's a Yom Hadin on Shavuos is when you recite the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim when you take out the Sefer Torah. So it's something not to miss. See, it's one thing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if you go out to the Beis HaKisa and you miss the Yud Gimel Harachamim, all right, there's plenty of parts of davening to make up for missing out on the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim when they take out the Sefer Torah, because the whole davening from beginning to end is all focused on Din. On Pesach, we say at least Geshen. Tal. So there's a whole nusach that's not Yom Hadin on Pesach. It's for Tfuah. It's for Tfuah. It's also on Tal. Maybe on Pesach. Maybe also it's something very significant. Focus on the Yud Gimel, but certainly on Shavuos, where you don't really have anything else. You don't really have that much of anything in the davening. To dwell upon the fact that do you realize today is not just a day to take off from work and to take it easy and eat cheesecake. Today is the Yom Hadin. And one of the only parts of davening where you're going to get that sense that it's a Yom Hadin is when you recite the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim when you take out the Sefer Torah. So this really caught my attention. It's not something you want to miss. When it comes to davening, don't go out at the end of Chazor Sashatz to the Beis HaKisei or to go Chapa Shmuz with someone outside because you're going to miss the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And that should be said with Kavana and the whole Ribbon Shalom, Anisa Filosi Lucha Shane Strasan, which is one of the most potent feelings you can possibly say. Anisa Filosi Lucha Shane Strasan, the Kibbutz Hasachanim Message Shach, it's very powerful. You see that by Mincha, by the end of the week, it's a very powerful Shula, it's very holy, and that's the time when the din of the Peros, so Elon, a person is called a tree. Ki Ha'odam Eitz Hasodeh. And a person's children are the Peiros. So it's serious. No, already by now already it could be
because
too late.
It was a late winter. They didn't have
maybe it could be. Generally, you can do it a little bit later, but I don't know how far it goes. If you already can do the Chodesh Iyar, I don't know if you can already do the Chodesh Iyar. Sivan. You can do it in Nisan for sure. ER probably also to a certain point, but I think when you come
no
to Chodesh,
the first 2-3 weeks there was nothing on the tree.
No, so that's okay. You can do it even though it's late, but I don't know the answer. It could be the Chodesh season already. You've already passed a deadline. Let's see. Okay, now we come to the next gate. Kriya Satora, which is running by very quickly. This is really a lot of drush. This is one I prepared some of this, but I don't even have a chance to talk about this. Is that what are we laying on? on Shavuos, the Aseres Adibros. Why? Why do you learn the Aseres Adibros? When would, what was the calendar date of the Aseres Adibros? So let's, again, there's a lot to talk about, but let's assume for argument's sake it took place on the seventh day. Moshe was Moisef Yemechad Midaitai, and even without being Moshe being Moisef Yemechad Midaitai, according to the calculation, it comes out that it was anyway on the seventh day. Even if you hold Moshe was not Moisef, there's different calculations. But according to most of the calculations, which I don't have the details for you, so I apologize, but you have to trust me. You should never trust me, but I'm just make believe I'm right. That Matan Torah did not take place on the sixth day of Sivan. So why are we laning about Matan Torah? You know what we should really lane on the sixth day? We should lane the Parsha in Mishpatim where it says, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naseh V'Nishma. That would really be the more appropriate if you think about it and delve into exactly the you have to Parsha Yisrael very carefully with the Rashis and learn about what happened. And what happened on the sixth day of Nisan, what really happened on the sixth day of Nisan, when it says in Chumash Bereishis, Yom HaShishi, the world was shaking and waiting for what's going to happen on Yom HaShishi. Guess what? Yom HaShishi came and went, and the Torah was not given. So, but it says in the Pasuk, Yom HaShishi, Hey HaYidia. There's something even more significant that happened according to the calculations that you will make when you read Parashas Yisrael, go through the Gemara, on the Yom HaShishi. And that is, Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go back and tell Hashem, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Where does it say that Pasuk? In Parashas Mishpatim. So if you would ask the average person, what should we lay on the sixth, the anniversary, on the sixth day of, why do we celebrate the sixth day of Nisan? Because it's the 50th day from the bringing of the Omer. You bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, you count 50 days, happens to be, according to our calendar, which is fixed today, from the time of Hillel, it's fixed, it happens to work out that the 50th day from the bringing of the Omer is Vav Sivan. Happens to work out like that. What happened on Vav Sivan? Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh V'Nishma. When was the Torah given? It was given the next day. So if you want to lane something on the sixth day of Sivan, which happens to relate to a current events, what happened on that day, it should be Parashas Mishpatim. Okay, we want to do Torah. You know, we're all Haredim. We're all Dovak Hashem, so we want to focus on Torah. Zman Matar Seinu. So then I would think the next best thing to lane is not the Aseres Hadibros from Parshas Yisro, because that had a very tragic end. Those Dibros were shattered. So the only thing that really remains with us, Adhiyam Azeh, from Matan Torah, is the Luchos Shniyos. So we should lane from Parshas V'Eschanan. So what are we doing? Manavshach, either lane Parashas Mishpatim or lane the Luchos Shniyos. Why do you want to focus on the Luchos Rishonos, which had it's not a good simon, had a tragic end? Shivri Luchos, Nochos V'Orei, but the Shivri Luchos. Or say, Naseh V'Nishma L'Chayr is really what we should be doing. It's Gvald Gakasha. Really Gakasha, the Mepharshim is Kasha. So what's Taka the answer? So I'll tell you one drush. There's another event which took place on another event that took place. And that is Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out of the Nile. Ki min hamayin mishi siru. Moshe Rabbeinu was born Zayin Adar. V'lo yochol oy lahatz pinoy. They were able to hide Moshe for 3 months. The end of the third month ends on the day before, not on the same day. So Moshe was born Zayin. The end of 3 months is Vav Sivan. On Vav Sivan, they took Moshe Rabbeinu, they put him into the Nile and said goodbye. Miriam stood to watch from the distance to see what's going to happen. And lo and behold, the miracle, Bas Paro pulled Moshe Rabbeinu out of the water. She called him Moshe, Ki min hamayim mishisiu. Not finished yet. What else does she want? What does she want to do? The first thing, what was the first thing that Baspar wanted to do when she pulled out this little crying infant from the Nile? She wanted to nurse Moshe Rabbeinu, give him some milk to drink. But Moshe didn't want to nurse. You know why? What does Rashi say? The peh, the mouth that is destined to speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Har Sinai at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, it's not befitting a peh that will one day speak to the Shekhinah should nurse from a non-Jew. So therefore, Moshe refused to nurse. The reason why we lane is drush. It's not pasha pshat. Drush. So we have to remember, mark the difference between drush and pshat. The reason why we lane the Aseres Hadibrois on the Vav Sivan is not because it happened. Happened the next day. And if we want to, we should really lane Lukshmias or Naaseh Nishma. It's because on this day, Moshe was taken from the water. And on this day, Moshe did not want to nurse. Because a peh kadosh, it was recognized that Moshe would communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam on Har Sinai, on Zion, on another day. And therefore, since that's going to happen, the peh is kadosh. The peh is kadosh, cannot nurse from a non-Jew. We recognize what was meant to be for the peh kadosh. It's not a reenactment of what happened on this day. The whole Yom Tov is all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like the whole Yom Tov of Pesach is all not about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ani v'loy malach. Ani v'loy shliach. Ani v'loy sarof. Ani hu v'loy acher. No Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. Matan Torah is Moshe Avdoi Toras Moshe. It's all a tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the nice in that Torah. We focus on his coming to be. We can't say his birth, but the day, Ki min hamayim mishisiyu, in mayim el Torah, the peh kodesh is meant, this peh kodesh that came out of the Nile today, is meant to communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam on Har Sinai. That's why we relate Matan Torah. We relate what's going to be with the Peh Kodesh, yeah?
Maybe you could tie into what you wanted to start off with the Shleishan Yagvala, with to wipe your mouth, so this is Peh Kodesh.
Right, because it all comes back to the Peh. As I talk about Pesach, is Peh, Soch, Shavuot is even more. It's even more. You have on Pesach just the ability to talk, to speak. Shavuot, it's upgraded, not just from Soch. Soch is Sichas Chulin, afilu sichas chulin shel chachamim tzrichim limud. But Shavuos, it's not sichas chulin. It's peh kodesh. It's dibur of kedusha. Aseres hadibras. We go from Pesach, which is peh soch, to Shavuos, which is dibur. Moshe Rabbeinu's peh was meant to talk on Har Sinai with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That communication, so this peh cannot nurse from, cannot drink milk from the woman, a woman who is not Jewish.
What is the reason of is stuttering, Moshe Rabbeinu?
What?
It's stuttering.
Stuttering?
Yeah.
Very good. It's all Tali Zebizeh. Is that whenever there is kedusha, there's always a satan that's trying to be misnagging. Since Moshe Rabbeinu's peh is the ultimate peh of kedusha, the satan got to him and was able to make him stutter.
What with the little milk of the?
Okay, that's a different topic. That's it. Okay. Oh.
You just now mentioned something which always bewildered me. Why do we celebrate Shavuos?
It's on the topic.
Okay.
I don't have any time on you.
Why do we celebrate Shavuos? Because ultimately it was failed. We should really celebrate Kabbalah Torah on Yom Kippur. I never saw anybody doing that, but that, I don't, and the Gemara even says this, that there was the Rosh Gadol, everything.
Right. It all ended in disaster.
So I don't understand why.
That's another topic. It's another topic. There are answers, but that's part of the question of why we're letting ourselves do this. Okay, now by the way, going back to one other point that we mentioned. There's a very famous one in the yeshiva world from Isser Zalman Meltzer. We mentioned that it's Yom Hadin. The Yud, we learn the Yud, Gimel Midos Harachamim. we recite a very potent tefillah of Anis, Tefilasi, it's Yom HaDin. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer would always tell the Talmidim that Shavuos is the Yom HaDin for Bittul Torah. The whole year round, all the opportunities.
Bittul. Up all night.
Exactly. That's why it's called Tikkun. Since it's the Yom HaDin for Bittul Torah, you have to stay up all night to be Zoich in the Din. Hashem should forgive us for the Bittul Torah that we have engaged throughout the entire year. Okay, next thing. There's a very interesting thing. I find it's very interesting. You study all the Minhagim on Shavuos, you come across a theme which is very interesting. And that is on Shavuos, there's a tendency to break all the rules. And what do I mean? I'll give you a few examples. First example, we don't do this today, but it seems that in ancient times, the custom was the first Aliyah on Shavuos did not go to a Kohen. They gave it to a Talmud Chacham. Since the whole day is all about Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, there was no such thing as Kohen Levi Yisrael on the first day of Shavuos. They gave the Aseres HaDibros, obviously, to the biggest Talmud Chacham, but they gave the first Aliyah to another Talmud Chacham. They just didn't give a Kohen. A Kohen Am Aretz didn't get the first Aliyah. Today you go into any shul, you have a Kohen who's not even Shomer Shabbos, they'll probably give him the first Aliyah, even if they have the Gadol Hadar. Well, the Gadol Hadar is in the room, not by the Sfarim though. The Sfarim didn't do that. By the Sfarim, Avadi Yosef, he always got the first Aliyah. You know that? Avadi Yosef, by the Sfarim, they give the first Aliyah to the Chacham, no matter what.
Sfarim doesn't make a difference.
Right, they give the first Aliyah to the not all Sfarim, only select groups of Sfarim. By Avadi Yosef, they always gave him the first Aliyah. Okay, but the Ashkenazim is unheard of. This is a crime. Ashkenazim, it goes to the Kohen no matter what. You can have the Gadol Hadar. If Moshe Feinstein was here and you had a person who was borderline Shomer Shabbos, was a Kohen, they would give the borderline Shomer Shabbos Kohen the first Aliyah and give Rav Moshe Shlishi. That's halacha. That's what we do. Not on Shavuos. On Shavuos, it was meaning Ashkenazim, we don't do this. All the Minhagim today have become bottled and everything has changed today quite a bit. On Shavuos, there was a minhag to break the rules. You break the rules, you give the first Aliyah to a Talmud Chacham, and you give, of course, the biggest Talmud Chacham, the Aseres HaDibros. Another thing they break the rules, we wait 6 hours, we'll talk about it soon in a moment, eating milchiks. Milchiks on Shavuos, so you have to wait 6 hours. The whole year, you wait 6 hours. Ashkenazim, okay, some German Jews, they wait 3 hours, some wait 1 hour, some wait five hours, five and a little bit, you're in 6 hours. But you wait, let's say you wait 5 hours, 6 hours, 5.5 hours, five minutes, or 6 hours. There's a minute on Shavuos, you don't have to wait 6 hours. How do you like that? You eat milk, you eat fleishiks, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You can eat fleishiks at your next meal, even if the next meal is less than 6 hours. Break the rules. How are you talking? You can break the rules the whole year round. It's a crime. Not to wait whatever your custom is and Shavuos to wait less than 6 hours? Yeah, that was the minute. Shavuos was an exception. Why is it like that? I really do not know. Okay, the Akdamas, the whole idea of learning Akdamas. How are you allowed to be mafsik? Okay, we don't do this anymore. We don't do any of these things anymore. But the real way to learn Akdamas is you lay in the first pasuk, you get an aliyah, the kohen gets the aliyah, the first aliyah, and they lay in the first pasuk. So right away they start Akdamos after the first pasuk has been read. That's a crime. Why? It's a hefsek. How are you allowed to, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, to be mafsek by laying Akdamos? But that's the way it was done traditionally, and it's done like that still by in some communities. Very rare to find it anymore. Today we don't do that. Today we call up the Kohen, and before the Kohen makes the bracha, Akdamos is recited. But that's a modern minhag. The original takana was to lay it in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, which l'chayra breaks all the rules. You know what I mean? Mafsek. It's very hard to find the reason why it should not be called a hefsek. So I'm just pointing this out. Is that you find
the leftover is from Hashem, the Heichal Kotcho,
in the middle of the Aftarah, but you still do that. You still do in the middle of the Aftarah, correct. That's interesting. You still do in the middle, correct. Okay, so I don't know the answer to this question, but it's interesting is that they're interested in the rules of Shavuos. There are more examples of this. I don't have them in front of me right now, but it's very interesting that on Shavuos, for some reason, the rules are different. Why? I don't know. They are. Another example. I'll give you another quick example. We lay, again, by us, these are meaningless because today we either don't do it or we do it the whole year. It used to be the minhag that the only time you lay in Tam Elyoin is on Shavuos. Aseres HaDibros. How do you lay Aseres HaDibros? Do you lay like the trop, regular trop, in the Chumash, every pasuk to itself, or do you take each of the Aseres HaDibros, and you each dibur is one pasuk? And therefore, what the consequences are that when it comes to Shabbos, you're grouping together many psukim into one. When it comes to the first, say, a couple of dibros, when it comes to lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo tignaif, lo sinaf, lo sachmoid, you're taking two words, which are really part of a larger pasuk, and you're making them into an independent pasuk. That is a violation of every halacha in the Torah. Kopsuka, Pasak Moshe Anan Loi Paskinon. It is also to lay Loi Tirtzach as an independent pasuk. How do we do this? And it used to be the custom. We only did this on Shavuos. See, to us, it's meaningless because we do it the whole year. We do it Parshas Yisroi, and we do it also for Parshas Veschanan. We group it together. But that was not the old. The old meaning was only on Shavuos. Why? Because you can't do this in Parashas Yisro and Parashas for Eschan, because how can you go take two words and make two words into one pasuk? How can you combine three, four psukim of Shabbos and make it into one pasuk? Kol psukim lepasak Moshe anan loy paskinan. So what is the answer? There is no answer. It's an exception. Aseres HaDibros is an exception. It's not much of an answer, but we do it anyway. We do it on Shavuos. We do it the whole year round. But you should really minimize the violation of the halacha and only do it on Shavuos and not do it the whole year round. Okay, that's not the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is we do it now the whole year round. But it's interesting, here's a fourth example of where we're breaking the rules that we normally follow the whole year round. Halei Davar, and there are many more examples of this. Halei Davar, that it's interesting, is Shavuos has its own set of rules. Something just to keep in mind. Why is it like that?
It's for Yom Tov meal.
Right. Like another example. Simcha in Simcha Ella Bebas of Yayin. It's not the normal thing to eat milchiks as a first su'uda. How can you break the rules and you eat dairy as a su'uda for Yom Tov? It's not. That's not what you would expect to be correct. But yet that is the minhag by not all, but by many. They indeed do that. Okay. Let's go to another example. Okay, I don't know what that means. Okay, let's go further. Agdamas. Okay, Agdamas. We all know. We all know Agdamas. It seems that we don't do Agdamas the right way. It seems the real way to do Agdamas is where everyone says everything. When we do Agdamas, the Chazan says the first line, and we respond. The only time we recite along with the chazan is the last line. It's responsive. The chazan says the first line, we say the second line. The chazan says the next, but whatever the chazan says, we don't say. And what we say, the shatz does not say. The only thing that we say together is we come to the very last line, we say together with the shatz the very, very, very last line. It appears that's not the way it was meant to be. It's meant to be that the line that the Chazan says, we're also supposed to say. So the Chazan have to give us more time. The Chazan says one line, so we repeat it, and then we jump ahead and we say the next line. Because everyone is supposed to say the entire shir, no one does, but it was done like this. Indeed, that's the way it was done in ancient times. Who was the Mechaber? So we all know it was Rav Meir Baal Hanes. Rav Meir Shliach Tzibur. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. That was his name. It's a whole story, not for now, how it came about. It was a debate. It was a debate between the Goyim and the Jews. It was a miracle. And as a praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared us, he composed this beautiful piyut, and it was adapted by the entire Klal Yisrael. And this fellow, this person, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, had a son. And his son was one of the victims of the Holocaust, of the First Crusade. Okay, so he lived right before Rashi, Rabbi Meir Shaliach Tzibur, and his son was a victim in the First Crusade in Magencia, and because of this reason, the only city that did not recite Akdamus was Mainz. Okay, in Germany, Ad Hayom Hazeh, the minhag in Mainz, as far as I know, is not to recite Akdamus. Why not? The Mechaber, Rabbi Meir Shuliach Tzibur, who is the Mechaber, he came from Mainz. But being that it was his son that was killed in the First Crusade today, I think it was either today or during this time, it could be even today, it would be a painful reminder to recite. It was just too much of a painful reminder to what happened to a mayor, the Tsar of Meir Shliach Tzibur. So they did not, due to the Tsar, the avails of what happened during this time, in mind.
Next year, it makes sense, because Yisker, you don't say the first year.
But it's not a Yiskar. It's not a Yiskar.
Oh,
it was a Shir Shoshach. That's a whole different topic of discussion. The first year, not for now. Not for now. I hear it. A different topic. This is so. It's just something which it's not so simple. But the commentators, they struggle with this idea that in Mainz the minhag is not to recite Akdamus. The mechaber of Akdamus was Rabbi Meir Shlach Tzibur, and he came from Mainz. His son died there. Some said we really do not know the real reason for the minhag, and some said we do know the reason for the minhag was because it was associated with Meir Shlach Tzibur, and the pain was so great they couldn't bring themselves, either because they felt it was a time of avelus, even though it's Yom Tif, there was still a silent avelus, or it would arouse a reminder of what happened, and they felt they're not going to say it. Now, by the way, some say that Meir Shlach Tzibur is Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. Is that true or not? That's a very big debate. And therefore, when they come out for the Pushkas, the Tzedakah, to give to Meir Baal Hanes, some say, it's not Muchach, that Meir Baal Hanes is the one who was the author of Akdamus. Is that so or not? Who knows? Uchayr or not? Uchayr, that's not the common thinking. The common thinking is there's separate people. There's Meir Baal Hanes, and then there was Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, Hayil Chud v'Hayil Chud. Okay, next. Now, there's a very interesting thing with the Shagas Aryeh.
Meir Baal Hanes was the murderer.
I don't know. Not necessarily. I really don't know. I think there are different Meir Baal Hanes. I don't know. You have to Google it, see what Google says. Okay. By the way, just as historical
notes.
Oh, you hear this? Call a Dairish life. The lines will be around, will line up from here all the way around the whole flop. There are going to be lines waiting, I guarantee, when the word gets out. Now, by the way, I want to point out that the Shaila, we mentioned there are different minhagim. There are different minhagim as to how to lane Akdamas. Do you lane Akdamas after you recite the first pasuk, or do you lane Akdamas before the Bukhoi makes the bracha? I remember a while ago we once spent a couple of shiurim on this. A lot of the lumnus is very, very fascinating, the lumnus. Of why specifically after one pasuk, why not after three pasukim? There's a lot of very nice chidushim on this concept, but the way it was done was after one pasuk. Just to be aware that the Shagas Aryeh, the Halakha Shagas Aryeh, he was a Rav, and in his community he almost lost his shtela because of this. In his kahila, they laned it after the first pasuk. They made the bracha and they laned Akdamas. And he, who was the Rav, the Shagas Aryeh, he said, I want to be mevatel this minhag. I want you shalein akdamas mikanu lahaba before the koyin makes the bracha, like what we do today. So the balabatim rose up against him and wanted to lynch him. They wanted to throw him out of his shtela, the Halakha Shagas Aryeh, over this. This has been traditionally a very, very, I don't know why, has been a very sensitive issue about changing the minhag of laning akdamas after you make the bracha to before you make the bracha. And a lot of very, very heated debates, fights, broke out in Klal Yisrael over this issue. By the way, who lanes Akdamas? Is it the Baal Kriya or is it someone else? So L'chayr, it should not be the Baal Kriya, because the Akdamas is the sitting in place of the Miturguman. In ancient times, the Yemenites still do it. You lane a Pasuk, and after you lay in the pasuk, then there's another person who stands by the bima who reads the targum. The Akdamos is the Hakdama, is really the Targum. It's the Rishus. It's the beginning of the Targum. Before the Meturgum begins to translate the Psukim, he gives a little poem, he has a little Hakdama, he asks permission from the Tzibur to be the Meturgumon. So even though Bizman Azah, we no longer have a Meturgumon, we preserve a token of the Meturgumon's role with the recital of Akdamos. That's really what Akdamos is. Akdamos is in Targum, it's in Aramaic. It was the introduction to the translation of the Psukim that was done after each Pasuk was read. The Yemenites still do this. The Yemenites, the Baal Kriya lanes one Pasuk, and then someone else reads the Targum. So the Meturgumon, occasionally, when he would begin the Targum, he would begin with a poem. He would begin with asking the Tzibur to permission to be the Meturgumon. So we, Ashkenazim, who do not do this anymore, we at least preserve a token of this custom with the Akdamos that's done, the Lel Shuas. So the Akdamos is part of the Targum, and therefore, ideally, who should be the one who writes, says the Targum? It should be not the Baal Kriya, it should be a different person to show there's the Baal Kriya, and then there is the Meturgumon. However, that's not the minute. The minig is that the Baal Kriya, it's his right. The common minig today is the Baal Kriya. He has rights. He's the one who lanes the Akdamos. So you don't want to chep with the Baal Kriya. The rabbi will say to the Baal Kriya, I'm the rabbi here. I'm going to be laning the Akdamos. You're looking for a fight. You're looking for a fight today when you want to take away the right to lane Akdamos from the Baal Kriya. L'chaira, if you're laning it in the middle, if you did like the real minig was, when you lane, you make a bracha, and you lane one pasuk, then l'chaira, then the Baal Kriya should not, because then it's a real hefsek. It's more of a hefsek. Then you give it to someone else. But being that Bizman Hazeh, most of us do not do that. We lane the Akdamos before we lane Kriya Satira. So therefore, the Baal Kriya, he gets it. Yeah, listen, Rabbi. Yeah, listen, about Baal Kriya. My brother was very interesting. He said, we had a rabbi who was a very, very big mumcha Baal Kriya, very, very good Baal Kriya, and he became a rabbi, and he basically said, he's not going to lane anymore. He's going to stop laning. So he explained private to a person why he's not going to lane. He said the following very fascinating insight. He says, people always have tightness on a rough. That's part of what Rabbanim is all about. If everyone loves you, then you're in trouble. There's no such thing as everyone loving a Rav. A Rav's job is that people should hate him to a degree. They should hate him just not enough, just right below the threshold of them throwing him out.
Rav.
They should have to hate him. If they have to know when they're going to come to the point they're going to throw him out. Just right below that threshold is the sweet spot of how much hate the Balabatim have for their Rav, because he gives them Musa. He tells them things they don't want to hear. So he said as follows, a Baal Kriya, it's very true, Rabbi Sire, pay attention.
He
asks for money, very good. A lot of things the Rav does that people do not like. A Baal Kriya, it's very interesting, it's very true. People have tightness on a Baal Kriya. Because in most shuls, they have the same Baal Kriya every single week. That's the way it is, because it's not so easy to get a Baal Kriya. You know, you want someone reliable in the swing of things. It's not so easy every week, a different Baal Kriya. So you have the same Baal Kriya every week. You know, familiarity breeds contempt, right? You hear the same guy every week, no matter how good he is. Enough of this guy already. How much can we take of him already? He's too slow, he's too fast. You will never, ever satisfy everyone in the Beis HaKnesses. In some shuls, they want fast, 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 fast. And the people can't take it. Some of them want slow. I know in the shul, they learn very, very fast. And the guy went over to the Rav, and the Rav said to the Rav, and the people, most people, they loved it. That's what they wanted. They wanted fast, 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 fast. And then a chash of a shul. And there was some very good B'nai Torah there. And one of the B'nai Torah goes over to him and says, I don't understand it. Every week is the Teichacha? So the Metzius is, you cannot satisfy everyone. So this fellow, who was at one point in time a Baal Kriya Mumche, who now became the Rav, he said, Now I'm the Rav, I'm not laning. I really want to lane, but I know, I recognize the combination of being the rabbi and being the Baal Kriya is lethal. It's lethal. When I was the Baal Kriya in a chashuva place, always tightness. I tried my hardest to accommodate everyone, not too fast, not too slow, loud, you know, this, that. Everyone has their hiccups, what they expect from the Baal Kriya. I tried my hardest, but you can't accommodate everyone. There's always tightness. A Rav? Oh, everyone has tightness on the Rav. Both? I should be the Baal Kriya and the Rav, and they should have double tightness on me. This is a recipe for disaster. It's a very interesting insight. Very interesting insight. So when it comes to there's an exception. The minhag used to be is that when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, they call up the rabbi. The rabbi lanes the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, there's no Baal Kriya for the Aseres HaDibros. This used to be. A lot of things have changed. These are minhagim. Even we had a Baal Kriya going back already 1,000 years. But it used to be, even when it was the Baal Kriya, it used to be such a thing that when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, no. Aseres HaDibros, you call up the rabbi, and it is the rabbi, and the rabbi only, who lanes the Aseres HaDibros. Times obviously have changed. I just want to point out some interesting minhagim. You see how things evolve. Okay, the Haftorah, we lane the first day, Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava from Yecheskel is a very holy, holy Haftorah, and it's interesting, it's brought down that you're supposed to stand. No one does this. You're supposed to stand for the Haftorah. We don't do this. Today, when we read the Haftorah, we all sit. Okay, and most of us sit for Kriyas HaTorah as well, but the Haftorah, everyone is sitting for the Haftorah. Did you ever have an Haftorah where people stand? You never saw that. There's one exception. Me'ikar HaDin, when you lay in the Maisa Merkava, you're laying such lofty, exalted things about the presence, the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describing the Kisya HaKavait, the Merkava, you don't take that sitting down. You're supposed to have respect for the Merkava, and it's supposed to be read when the people are standing. But no one does this. You've never seen this. I'm just pointing out some interesting things which make a lot of sense, and this indeed used to be the custom. And Golos has done quite a job on us.
Because they learn the whole night, they can't even stay up.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed, when you stand for the Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to stand for the Maisa Merkava. It's a very holy, you see this, it's true pashtus is that you see to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matan Torah, every Jew, that's the fundamentals of Yadus. Yes, the fundamentals of Yadus. Every Jew saw Hashem come down in Har Sinai. It's not like other religions, where, trust me, God came to me in a dream, just trust me. Trust me, and we'll start a new religion based upon your trust in me. That's not what Yadus is all about. Yadus is no trust in man. Everyone was present when Hashem descended and gave us the Torah. Maisa Merkava captures that dimension where we are reflecting upon the revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam at Har Sinai. And ideally, everyone should be standing for the recital of this Haftorah. That also, another very important halacha, you give the Maisa Merkava to an Adam Gadol, to an Adam Chashav. So we have in Haftorah, you can give a Mikardin to a child. Some say that this is the exception. Now that you're not allowed to give the Maisa Merkava, Yecheskel, to a child. Maisa, under Bar Mitzvah, and it should be given to someone in the Beis HaKnesses who is recognized as being Choshev, a Talmud Chacham, a Yoreh Shemayim. It's a different league. The Maftar of Maisa Merkava, people don't appreciate that. It's a whole different league.
About Haftarah Shel Chavakuk HaNavi?
Chavakuk, which the next day? The second day, no. The second day is about Hashem, no. That
was Maisa Merkava.
It's not the same level. All Nevuah is on a very high level. Anything that you learn from the Nevi'im is on a very high level. But this Haftarah, for whatever reason, where it describes in detail the Maisa Merkava, it's accepted to be on a different level, and you give it to an Adam Chashav, not to a child, and it should be listened to with a different attention, a different with reverence. Okay.
Aseret HaDevarot, should you stand?
What?
The time reading Aseret HaDevarot. Sorry, you should stand?
Okay, good question. Do you stand for the Aseret HaDevarot? It is our custom today to stand for the Aseret HaDevarot. The Rambam. Famous Rambam, the Rambam said it's apikursis to stand for Aseres HaDibros. You do not differentiate between between the Aseres HaDibros and other parts of the Torah, it's all the same. This is what the Minim, the Apikorsim say. The only thing... What? No, no more. The Sfarim stand to it also?
No. We were standing, but for this reason that Bereshit, that the end of the Torah is the same, Divrei Elokim Chayim, they should not understand.
Right, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says you should not stand, since you do not stand for the whole Torah, so you should not differentiate and stand for the Aseres HaDibros, because it opens up a Pischa and Peh for the Apikorsim to say that the only thing that you have to observe in the Torah is the Aseres HaDibros.
We used to, but no.
Oh, so the Sfaradim today, even today, also stand, like the Ashkenazim, because there are no Minim anymore. The common answer is that the Minim that the Rambam was referring to no longer exist. Today everyone knows there's no difference between Aseres HaDibros and Kol HaTorah Kula. This concept where a person will make such an argument, oh, the only thing you need to do is to be a Ten Commandment Jew, doesn't exist.
So
therefore, what?
We don't stand for we stand for the rabbi.
Too many Jews
can't. You stand for the rabbi? I never heard that before. So halach l'maisa, the minhag is to stand. There's another reason why we stand. That's because it's a reenactment. There are different dimensions to the Kriyas HaTorah. You're laying the Torah, it's Talmud Torah. You're learning Torah. So then, should you stand, not stand? But on Shavuos, when we lay the Aseres HaDibros and Tam Elyon, it's not just the learning of Torah. It's a reenactment. We're living the experience. And in Har Sinai, we stood. It says in the Pasuk that we stood by Har Sinai. It's a reenactment. A reactment is not talent, but then it's a different concept. That's another reason why the custom is to stand. Okay, next. Foods, different types of foods. Now, I don't see this anymore today, but it seems in years ago, in the olden days, there was a very lavish minhag on how to make the chalois. The chalois that you put on the table, the lecha mishnah. The lecha mishnah, the way when you put on the table, on your dining room table, it was very lavish. It was with four corners. It was all different types of tzuris, which alluded to different themes of Matan Torah, or the Shtei Halechem, which was the unique carbon of Shavuos. Today you don't really see. In the bakeries they don't see anything special. They have even big round challahs they make with raisins for Yom Tov, but you don't see challahs formed in special shapes. They're all different, a lot of different. I'm not going to go through the spend.
But if a person has in kavona to make something look like lechem aponim, is the over and alav?
No, only kalim. Only utensils, not the bread. The bread, there's no prohibition. You want to make something that's lechem aponim, it's fine. But lechem aponim is not really shayach. Lechem aponim is not really shayach to the yom tov. The yom tov is a shtei halachim. No. Only utensils. Okay, now, 7-layer cake. Where does it come from? I don't know. First, we should know that most of the 7-layer cakes are not 7 layers. They're cheating you. Okay, that's only 6 layers or 5 layers. Yeah. I think most of them today are only 5 layers. You're cheating you. They're not giving you 7, but it used to be called 7-layer cake. Where does it come from? I don't know, but it says over here that the minig on Shavuos, this goes back, we're dealing over here hundreds of years before this, going back, was to basically what it describes, doesn't say those words, but basically it's 7-layer cake. That's really what it says over here. In other words, why? Because Hashem came down from heaven to this world. How many heavens are there? 7 heavens. Hashem is on the 8th. Hashem Echad, we cover our eyes. And there are 7 heavens. Whatever this means beats me. But Hashem is all the way in Shemayim. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem came down to all 7 heavens to give us the Torah, to appear before Klal Yisrael, to give them the Torah, to come to the world, to rest assured on this world. And therefore, the minig in ancient times was to eat basically what it says here in Hebrew words, which describe it, 7-layer cake.
Not cheesecake.
No. There's no makar yishno. There's no makar for cheese. There's cheese. Cheesecake? Didn't come across anything about cheesecake in all of these farms. There's cheese, that you're supposed to eat cholov. Not even, I take it back, not even cheese, I'm sorry. Cholov, milk.
Yogurt.
Dvash, cholov, tachas, lishoinech. There are a million reasons why you eat milk, you can get dizzy. literally hundreds of weird svarim, encyclopedias of why you eat milk, but in all of those minhagim only focus on one thing, cholaf, milk. None of them make mention of a cake. Of a cake. So this is something which is new. Very, very new.
Business.
Business. Hakesef ya'ane es hakol. Money is not everything. It's the only thing. This is the aside.
And I was robbed so much money.
Yishalim Hashem chesroincha. Hashem should give you back what you're missing plus more. Okay, now let's go now. Okay, milchik. So the minhag is to eat milchik. So let's just run through some of the very, very basic reasons. Mincha chadasha. These are from the Kadmoina. I'm not telling you Jewish similes. Mincha chadasha laHashem bishavu oseichem. What are the Rashi Tevis of chadasha laHashem? You bring on Shavuos a mincha chadasha laHashem bishavu oseichem. Chadasha laHashem b'shavu osechem is cholov. That's what Kadmonim say. This is an early thinking. Other reason, this is a very, very, very good, very, very nice thing, is why do we have the Torah? Only because the credit of Avraham Avinu. He served the Malachim chema ubakar. When they came to Avraham Avinu, so he gave them basa b'cholov. He gave them chema's butter, cream. Chema in the Torah means cream. It doesn't mean butter, it means cream, which is milk. It comes from milk. And ubakar. And he gave them meat. And in which order did he give it to them? Okay, so you argue, he gave them first milchiks and fleishiks, but then within one meal, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have. But the point over here is he gave Avraham Avinu basar b'chavunash. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Mekabel the Torah. The Malachim said, no, you're not. You're not taking the Torah away from Shamayim. It's our domain. It's our property. And Moshe said to the Malachim a whole number of things. And one of the winning arguments he made in this vikuach with the Malachim, are you shayich to Basar b'chalav? Look, when you went down to visit Avraham Avinu, he served you chema v'labokar rotz Avraham. Vayikach ben bakar.
Vayikach chema v'chalav ben bakar asher osah.
So he served them basa b'chalav. He said that you ate basa b'chalav together on the same plate. You had the same plate. So you're not observant. You're not observant, Malachim. If you're not observant, that's it. You don't get the Torah. And that was a winning argument. So in order to allude to this theme that Avraham Avinu he provided the winning argument. He served them in advance. He did this, and some he did this l'chatchila. He knew the day would come when there would be a dispute as if to determine if the Jews are worthy of the Torah. So he right away planted the seeds for them to win by serving them basa b'chalav in order to remind ourselves that the only reason why we're victorious in basa b'chalav is because of Avraham Avinu who served chalav. So we deviate from our common practice of eating meat. We normally eat meat on a suit of yamta, and instead we eat cholav to show we recognize it was the basa b'cholav which was allowed us to win the Torah. It's interesting that's maybe another interesting reason why all the minhagim in the Jewish people, one of which I think really, really surprises non-Jews the most, is this, that we wait 6 hours between meat and milk. They don't get it. Try to explain this to a non-Jew. They don't get it. It's easier to explain to a non-Jew why we keep Shabbos and we don't answer the phone on Shabbos and we don't come to work on Shabbos than it is to explain to them, you're waiting, you mean to tell me you're going to wait 6 hours after eating meat before you eat dairy? What, are you kidding? Why? Why? Because you're not allowed to, because it says in the Bible you're not allowed to cook together meat and milk. Well, you're not cooking it. It's not been cooked together. And so you don't eat it together. So don't eat it together in the same utensils. But to wait 6 hours, isn't that a bit of an extreme? So basically, you can explain what it says in Shulchan Aruch because the taste is still in your mouth. There may be something caught in between your teeth. These are not really that. Well, these answers don't necessarily satisfy everyone. But what's one of the real reasons? The only reason why we have Torah is because of Basa B'chalav. It was the winning argument. Now, maybe we should just spend a moment appreciating this point. What does it mean that the Malachim? What does it mean the Malachim said to the Klal Yisrael, "You can't have the Torah"? What do they care? We're not taking it away from you. Ner le'echad, ner le'meya. You'll have the Torah. We'll have the Torah. There's the Beis Medrash Elyon, and there's the Beis Medrash Tachtoin. Tachtoin. There's a Lakewood, and there's the Beis Medrash Elyon. So, Hayim Luchud, Hayim Luchud. You have your Rosh Hashivas, you have our Rosh Hashivas. What's the problem? What's the big deal? There's a Brisk, and there's another Yeshiva. Who cares? So the answer is no, no. The question is, who is the authority of Torah? Until the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, who decided halacha? No, a lot of things in the Torah are subject to interpretation, and someone has to make a decision. And there are many different approaches, and you have to have a Sanhedrin, and you have to have a healthy debate, and there's going to be a disagreement, and you have to follow the majority of the Sanhedrin. So in heaven, there's a Sanhedrin. There's a Bezdin Shalmaila. They make the decisions. When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, it's almost impossible to appreciate the depth of this. The concept, Torah lav bashamayim. The halacha is determined by the Bezdin Shalmata. That's it. The Bezdin Shalmala is subject to the decision of the Bezdin Shalmata. That's an awesome, awesome gift. Hashem took away the authority of Torah, with which he created the whole world, and gave it to a boss of Adam. Isn't that shocking? It's utterly shocking, such a concept. But that's what it is. Such a gift. There's no gift in the world that comes anywhere remotely within a zillion miles from the gift, the infinite gift of giving man, the human being, the shlita, to determine and to interpret as it's not, it's shocking. It's shocking. And how did it, what was the winning argument? Well, there were many arguments. And arguments are not necessarily important, but it's still, this is the sequence of events. Avraham Avinu said to the Malachim, Malachim, do you remember that fateful day when I became a Jew? At a Bris Milah? I became a Jew. That was an amazing thing. First Jew, right? The first Jew, the first one to Mekayim the Torah. The Suvi Yosef. Hashem told me I have a Bris Milah. The Krisas Bris. You came to visit me. And what did you do on that day when I became the first Jew to observe the Torah? You ate Basa B'Cholof. You ate by my bris. Basa B'Cholof. Obviously, Torah is not for you. You're not observant. Who gets the Torah? We get the Torah. These are just words. Okay? Obviously, there's a lot of depth in these words. I don't know what this really means. Okay? It's very, very funny. If you think about it, whatever it means. I don't know what it means. But whatever it means, whatever the words are there. And therefore, when we live our lives as observant Jews, and you come in contact with meat and milk, you stand back. Because this is the makar. This is a very potent reminder of the gift that Hashem gave us. He made us Jews. And therefore, all of the halachas of the Torah, the one that is the most extreme, beyond question, is Basa B'Cholof. You wait 6 hours. Why are you waiting 6 hours? Because you become overwhelmed with the gift that what Hashem has given us. So literally, He gave it to us. We're in the driver's seat. It's our Torah. We make the decisions. And that wasn't so simple. There was a very big debate. And the winning argument that tipped the scale is whatever the words are, the words mean they mean. We don't know what the words mean exactly, but it was Basa B'Cholof. And therefore, it's a very powerful awakening for us. And that's why we show such extreme sensitivity in the Chumrah. Okay, there are many more reasons, but we're out of time, so you can't go to the bus. We'll just run through very other quick things. I want to quickly mention
can
this.
I see the shirt?
We're out of time. Yeah, I want to run through very quick things. There's a minute we don't do anymore today is to read a ksuba. When you take out Klal Yisrael compared to Chasam Makala, there's a minute to read a ksuba before Kriya Satira. When a man and woman get married, the husband has obligations. Obligations to his wife, Sherek Sus Li'oina. By we becoming the Kala of Hashem on Shavuos, Hashem has obligations, and therefore before we read in the Torah, there's a ksuba which delineates Hashem's obligations to Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's an Inyan, Chabad is into this, is one of the big things is to study the Taryag Mitzvahs. There are piyutim in the davening, which we don't say anymore today, but there are piyutim which actually enumerate all or a significant number of the Taryag mitzvahs that we got on Shavuos. Okay, what else do we do on Shavuos? Okay, the Yom Tov Sheni Shal Shavuos, according to many, is more chomer than all other Yom Tovim, because the Yom Tov, there's no reason why there should be a second day Shavuos. There's no Sfeika D'Yoma.
Right.
It's 50 days after Pesach, so why then do we do it? Loi plug. We don't want to differentiate between Pesach and Sukkot, which is a real Sfeika D'Yoma. Chazal said, you got to do it. It's so very, very fascinating is that this is a mayor. Mayor, this is for you. This is a very, very fascinating story. Is that it was a Maisa Shahoya. Mai Shahoya with, who was the person with, before the time of Chassam Sofer, but it was not with the Chassam Sofer, he was the one that gave the Ramami Panim. A woman was married to a fellow, and this man that she was, they had no children. This man had a brother on the other end of the world. It's a Gvaldig story to appreciate what it means that battery's dead. I mean, you want me to stop talking, right? There was this man. Don't worry, we're out of time. I'm going to finish up very quickly. So this man is still to the Chashivas of the Yom Tov Sheni. This man was dying, and this man had a brother on the other end of the world that possibly was not religious, was very belligerent to religion, and there were no children. And there's a young woman, and she. And they realized that a few moments from now was Yom Tov Sheni, was Shavuos, the second day of Shavuos, and a few moments from now he's going to die. And when he dies, what's going to happen to this young woman? She is going to be an aguna for the rest of her life. Why? Because she cannot marry anyone until she receives chalitza from her dying husband's brother. But the dying husband's brother is in the other end of the world where there's no way to ever get to him. And even if they would get to him, they felt that he would not want to do the mitzvah of chalitza. So they said to the Rami Pano, listen, let the husband now in his last waking hours write his wife a get. Let's get the Sanhedrin here. He will give her a get. They will be mechalel Yom Tov. They will write a get, give it to her. She'll be divorced. And that way she won't be an aguna. So it's Yom Tov. You're not allowed to write a get on Yom Tov. Chil Yom Tov. It's an Issa Daraisa. I'm sorry. It's the second day of Shavuos today. Today, the only reason why it's Yom Tov is because it's Sveika D'Yoma. There's no Sveika D'Yoma. We're experts in the calendar. And even if we're not experts in the calendar, there's no real Sveika D'Yoma on Shavuos because it's 50 days after Pesach. Once we know when Pesach is, so there's no real reason in the world why there should be a second day of Shavuos.
Right.
So they desperately petitioned the Ramami Pano that they should make an exception and allow a get to be written on Shavuos in order to prevent her from becoming an aguna. The Ramami Pano said, you're right, but you're wrong. It's Yom Tov Sheni. And Yom Tov Sheni, the fact that Chazal instituted the Yom Tov Sheni for Shavuos means it's even more chamor, because they knew there's no Sveika D'Yoma, and yet it's not Mishum Sveika D'Yoma. It's because of Takanas Chazal, there has to be a second day Yom. There's no Sveika D'Yoma, but there must be a second day Yom Tov in order that there should be consistency. So it's even more chamor. If you would have asked me the Shaila on the second day Pesach, on the second day of Sukkot, you know, maybe then there's grounds to write the get, because only Sveika D'Yoma. There's no Sveika D'Yoma Bizman Azeh. So maybe we can find a heter to do it. But the second day Shavuos, there's no heter. It's a Takanas Chazal. But she's going to be an aguna. It's a terrible tragedy. I don't have a solution. So that's what the Ramami Panel said. But you know something? Maybe you're right. I don't know. The Ramami Panel said, I don't know, an aguna. Maybe you're right. My instinct is that it's Osir. And I can't decide this. Let's send for the Chassam Sofer. So they ran to the Chassam Sofer on Yom Tov, and the Chassam Sofer says, the Ramami Pano was right. You can't do it. That's what Yom Tov Sheni is, especially Yom Tov Sheni Shal Shavuos. Ad Kidei Kach, the severity, the Kedusha of the second day Shavuos, where the Chassam Sofer did not allow a get to be written, at the enormous tragedy. What kind of greater tragedy can there be in this world than that? An aguna. The Chazal, they bend backwards. Every hecker they find to be matter an aguna. And this, the Chassam Sofer says, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. There's just no solution for this problem. Ad kidei kach. That's what it says over here. Now, wait. I just say a few words.
What? So what happened?
That was it. There was he died. It was now, and she died. It doesn't say what happened. Okay, just want to point out some ideas. Yitziv piskam. We say the second day Shavuos, a very unique minog. Pirkei Avos. Many hold that the ikas man to begin reciting Pirkei Avos after Shavuos, not like what we do after Pesach. Okay, we lay Mrus on the second day of Yom Tov. Kiddush Levana, very interesting Shiloh. Are you allowed to do Kiddush Levana Mitzvah Shabbos this year? Mitzvah Shabbos. Big Shiloh. Why not, right? Why don't you do it on Shabbos? You can't carry. You can't go out and carry the sitter out into the Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, you can carry. Is it the right thing to do Kiddush Levana this year, Mitzvah Shabbos, the first night of Yom Tov? Not so simple. Yes. Some say
if you don't have a choice on Friday night, you can also do Kiddush Levana.
No, it's only the beginning of the month. We have plenty of time left to go. It's the beginning of the month. So some say when you're Mekadosh Levana, you're really traveling past the Tchum. You're going to Shemayim, Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina, and there's Tchumen on Yom Tov. Just like there's Tchumen on Shabbos, there's Tchumen on Yom Tov, and you can't go past the Tchum. When you're Mekadosh Levana, you're going in Shemayim, All right. Also, Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. So, Halacha L'Maisa, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to Kiddush Levana this year, Mitzoy Shabbos, but it is a very heated topic of discussion. There's a million more things here, but a Shavuos Chazal say will never be bottled. They're not going to become bottled. Why not? Torah is never bottled. Okay, and the last thing is Bikurim. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, it's Bikurim. It's the Yom Tov when you bring the first fruits. Okay, Samachti, you bring Bikurim, and Chazal say that Bizman Azeh, what has taken the place of Bikurim? Tzila, prayer. Prayer is Sofas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavrosh HaBeis HaMikdosh Osid Lichorev V'habikurim Asidim Lifsoik Omad V'hiskin Lishol Shiyu Mispalilin Sholosh Pa'omim B'chol Yom Lufi Shachov Tfil Lufi HaMakam Baruch Hu Mikol Ma'asim Tavim Mikol HaKabonis Mikol HaKabonis. It's a Chazal. What the Chazal means has to be understood, but that Tfilah is in the place of Bikurim. Therefore, if there's ever a day when you should daven your hardest, it's on Shavuos. Because since Shavuos is Uviyoyim HaBikurim, the day when we bring Bikurim, and since Bizman HaZeh prayer serves in the place of Bikurim, besides all the Chazal of the Tzmidim and Arvim and Yaakov, there's another Chazal. And there's a lot of depth in this Chazal, but it's a Chazal that it's in the place of Bikurim. It goes to at least illustrate not to squander, to waste an opportunity to be Mespalel B'Lev Sholeim on Shavuos. The koyach of tefillah on Shavuos is much, much more potent than tefillah the whole year round. Don't underestimate your koyach of tefillah. You should all be zeicher to have a wonderful Yom Tov. Yes, Hashem, tomorrow is a regular day. Tomorrow, we have a regular shiur tomorrow. Amen.